From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from the Word of God brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, Christ, the Pattern of True Greatness. As the disciples disputed over which of them should be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus showed them that true greatness is achieved only by imitating His own example of humility. As the Son of Man, Christ came to serve. He sacrificed His life to save others. As our substitute, He took our place on the cross. Finally, He came to be the Savior of sinners. It is as we imitate Him that we achieve true greatness. Before coming to the preaching of God's Word, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, New Baptist Covenant, Old Liberal Agenda.
There's a new kid in the block of Baptist church politics. Having suffered severely as a newly invigorated conservative movement ousted them from their long-held power base in the Southern Baptist Convention, liberal Baptists have formed what they call the New Baptist Covenant. From January 30th until February 1st, 2008, 15,000 participants convened in Atlanta to seek a wider unity and to delineate a policy of social involvement. Reportedly, the group demonstrated racial, theological, and geographic harmony as they prayed, sang, listened to sermons, and attended workshops, focusing on ministry to the people they claimed Jesus called the least of these in society. They welcomed some big-name speakers to the platform. There was Baptist ex-president of the United States, Jimmy Carter. There was another Baptist ex-president, even more famous than Carter, none other than Bill Clinton. And Al Gore was there as well to stand by his support for homosexual marriage. Jimmy Carter was clearly enthused by the emphasis on world hunger, poverty, changing the judicial system and such like. I feel that this new Baptist Covenant Assembly is based on love God and love the person standing in front of you at any time, Carter bubbled. Clinton was the closing speaker, and he lectured the participants on how to go forward to the unity they sought. I quote, "If we are going to form a covenant that can embrace the whole body of the Baptist tradition, which every Christian can identify with and every good human being on earth can applaud, it is the spirit with which we go forward and our determination to offer specific things we can do as the children of God that will determine how it comes out in the end." Now, just in case you may have forgotten, this is the same Bill Clinton who took his marriage covenant so seriously and exercised it in such a consistently loving manner that he dragged the office of the President of the United States into the gutter of animal lust and persistent lying. He's the one who now unctuously speaks of going forward in a spirit of humility and forgiveness. I think I would call that real gall. More than 30 Baptist denominations and groups sponsored and participated in the gathering. There were several Democratic Party speakers and one Republican senator. The event was boycotted by conservative Baptists who saw the event for what it was, an exercise in old-fashioned liberalism. Conservatives have never shied away from their responsibilities in ministries of mercy to a suffering humanity. What we refuse to do is to replace the Church's primary mission of preaching the gospel of redeeming grace with a social gospel and a liberal political and social agenda. I applaud the Conservatives who refuse to participate and become co-belligerents with Clinton and Carter and their liberal cronies. The best of humanitarian ideals cannot become the excuse for betraying the fundamental and exclusive truth of the gospel. And that is what the New Baptist Covenant's liberal agenda effectively does.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
How does the Lord Jesus bring many sons to glory? He dies. As the corn of wheat, he had to die to produce the harvest that we call the church of the firstborn. But you know, the same principle holds true in the Christian life. To live, we've got to die. Not to purchase redemption, but to serve the Redeemer and to bring the gospel to the world. C.H. Spurgeon said, "We cannot save ourselves and save others. There must be a destruction of self for the salvation of men." Isn't that what Jesus said? If you save your life, you'll lose it. I think of what George Mueller said. He said, "There was a day when I died to George Mueller, his opinions and his preferences, taste and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends." He didn't mean that he had set himself above accountability. He explained what he meant. "Since then I have striven only to show myself approved unto God." Martin Luther, as you might expect, put it in a way that only Luther could. He said, "God creates out of nothing. Therefore, until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him." Until a man is nothing, God can make nothing out of him. Now, this has got to be more than words. I look at the preachers, and when I look at preachers, I've got to start looking at myself. This is where it starts. We live in a day when there's little or no power in the Christian pulpit. Why? Has the message changed? Well, in some places it has, sadly. But I'm talking about the Christian pulpit. Little or no power in the Christian pulpit. We have a bunch of male prima donnas in the pulpits who know how to spin a good yarn or put on a good show, but as for spiritual power, they wouldn't have enough of the wind of the Spirit to blow a candle out. What's wrong? And I think Martin Luther put his finger on it. Until a man's nothing, God can make nothing out of him. And unfortunately, we have multiplied examples of people in positions of authority or prominence in the church, and God is making nothing out of them. Jesus came with the purpose of being a servant, a sacrifice, a substitute willing to sink his life into death for the good of others. And why we can't save others by anything we say or do, for their sake we can live and we can die. That leads me to the final thing. He came to be a savior, to give his life a ransom for many. This is the fruit of his sacrifice. Thank God, he changed life on earth forever. And that's the true worth of Christ's life and Christ's death. But the true worth of his greatness is not seen even here on earth. You've got to follow this through and go to the vision that you get in Revelation chapter 5, for example, and see the souls in heaven. And when you see that mighty, mighty throng, and they're singing the praise of him who died, and they're singing about the slaying of Christ, the dying of Christ. Why? Because through that dying, he made them kings and priests unto God. Do you know that is the sound of the greatness of our Savior. We should use the same measure. Again, he's saying, you want true greatness? I'm your pattern. What the world calls greatness is a passing dream. I've often used the illustration of one of my great heroes in modern English history, Sir Winston Churchill. I've read thousands of pages of what he wrote. I've read thousands of pages that others have written about him. I never forget watching the solemn pomp of his state funeral. And here's the greatest of men. And as I saw that gun carriage carry the coffin, I asked, where is he? Where is he? Will there be any souls in glory saying, thank God I'm here by the grace of God through the testimony of this man? And I think not. Men and women, the greatness of the world is for a moment. The riches of the world are for a moment. All the position the world can give, it's for a moment. But to live for eternity, to bring souls to glory, as Paul said, by all means that I might save some. That is true greatness. How may we achieve it? The answer is clear. Fix your eyes on Christ. He's the pattern. More than the pattern, he's the motivator. He's the enabler. And by considering him, we become more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18. As you look at him, you become like him. And you know, when you think it over, there's no greater way of demonstrating his glorious greatness than to be transformed into his image. Let us never forget, there's not only great theology here that the Son of Man gave his life a ransom for many, but there's great practical truth here for us. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to do the serving and to give his life a ransom for many. Even as that, so must we make him our pattern and follow in his steps. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt show us Christ. We thank thee, Lord, there's nothing like a sight of the Savior to make us hate our sin and quit our worldliness. We thank thee, Lord, there is nothing like a sight of the Savior to stir up our souls to love the brethren and to serve the cause of the gospel. We do confess to thee that all too often We import the attitudes of the world into the work of the kingdom. We confess to Thee, our God, that we bring in likeness to the world. We bring with us, O Lord, all too often, the attitude of the world's estimate of greatness or importance. O God, show us Christ today. Oh, for a sight of the Savior. And O Lord, as we see Him, as He served men, as we see Him going to the cross, laying down His life a ransom for many, as we see Christ, great in His humility, Lord, stir up our hearts to be like Him. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt raise up many young men in this church whose lives and whose hearts the Lord has touched. Lord, lead them out to be great for God, however foolish the world may count them to be. Oh, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt create in many hearts a willingness to give up the idea of pursuing the greatness of men in order to pursue likeness to Christ. Oh God, we're looking to Thee to give servants. This church needs to be a church of servants, people who do practical things that are like Christ, to help and to reach their fellow believers, to help and to encourage them in the battles of life, to reach out to the lost and to bring them to the feet of Jesus. Lord, this is what we need. Make us such a church, we pray. Help us not to love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And may there be much fruit. Lord, we'd love to see a great harvest for the labors of Thy people here. A harvest of souls. We'd love to see many, many souls in glory as the result of the service of God's people for Jesus Christ. For we thank Thee that it pleases God to use men, not angels, men, women, ordinary saved people, to bring the gospel to a needy world and to bring those souls to Christ. So, Lord, hear our prayer and give fruit in all our lives for the preaching of Thy gracious word. Now part us with Thy blessing and keep us in Thy fear. Keep us humble before our God and willing for all the will of God. May we indeed rise above our own ambitions and yield ourselves entirely unto Thee. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.